look up that verse. We're going to be focusing on one particular phrase in that verse tonight. You know, our theme for these three messages is, well, really for this section is identity. And for these three messages is, you know, who am I? Last week we talked about God's poetry. Tonight we're going to talk about God's plan. And next week we've got another part of that same verse. And so, key verse here, verse 10, if we read it together. If you guys need a Bible, we've got some to share with you. If you'd like to just raise your hand, we'd be happy to let you have one of those. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I hope that's becoming a familiar verse to you. Maybe it's one that you've already memorized and got it down, or maybe it's just one that you have memorized because you've heard it enough. That's awesome. But it is a great verse to put in your heart just to remember, and some of the great lessons that are there in that one verse. The key phrase tonight that we're going to deal with is created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's the key verse. And again, kind of the question here with each of these sermons is, do you know who you are? Who am I? Do you know who you are? And so tonight we're going to talk about God's plan and try to give as much help as we can understand this idea of good works and what that means for us. How does God's plan include good works for us? And so I'm gonna take a little bit of risk tonight. I'm going to do a sermon illustration using my dog. And he's only 8 months old. He's in training. He may completely cooperate, and he may not. We'll see. But I'm trying to use this as an illustration of something about how God prepares us and wants us to be ready to be used by him. So Caleb, bring Shooter over here. This dog's name is Shooter. Come here, buddy. Come on up here. Come to Caleb. Shooter, heel. Shooter, heel. Sit. Good boy. Stay. All right, so I'm going to do a couple things. One, it's kind of a test for me because I've been training him since I got him almost, which, by the way, we got him from Carly and her family up south of Boleyn. And so she's known him longer than I have. But I'm training him some things. I'll explain a little about that a little bit later, but tonight's a little bit of a test to just see how well he's doing. He's not typically being trained in a crowd of 100 people. And so, yeah, he's already laying down when he's not supposed to, but at least he didn't run. So let's see how we do here. I'm going to take him down the aisle, probably leave him down there and see if he'll stay there and then come to me and do a couple things and just real basic stuff before I make a couple points. So Shooter, heel. So let me make a couple points while he's there. One of the things I want you to notice, if you can see him, I know it's hard for everybody, but his attention should be on me. Now, I know it's distracting in here. He's probably looking around. He is the friendliest dog I've ever had. He would be glad to be your best friend for the rest of your life here. I mean, in fact, he would want all of you to be his best friend. That's how friendly he is. So that's part of the discipline I'm trying to build into his life is, hey, he's under command, and who's giving him commands? Is it you or is it me? And so he's looking around. He probably shouldn't be, but I think he's listening to me. And so when I call him, I think he'll come. Attentiveness is one of the disciplines we're looking at for training a dog, but it's also just a general discipline for humanity, isn't it? It's certainly a discipline for our walk with God. Where's our attention fixed? Are we aware of what God is saying? Are we looking for him? You know, I got a new verse I'm trying to memorize. It's Psalm 130, verse 6. If I get it right, it says, I wait for the Lord more than the watchman wait for the sunrise. More than the watchman wait for the sunrise. It's a simple verse, but it's a verse of attentiveness. I'm eager for the Lord. I've got my eyes on the Lord. And shooter's got his eyes on me. Again, he laid down again. But that's okay at this stage. Like I said, he's 8 months. He's figuring some things out. So, shooter, come. Come. Good boy. Shooter, sit. Good boy. Shooter, heel. Heel. Come on. Sit. Good boy. Shooter, down. Stay. Down. Stay. So I'm gonna see if he'll stay there while I preach to you. If he doesn't, Caleb will come get him and put him back in my office. But let me just see if he'll stay there while I preach, just to see how long his attentiveness is. Okay, so don't be distracted by Shooter. He'll be happy to sit there, I think, later. Okay, so who am I? First of all, verse 10, we're looking at this. We're talking about stages of our walk with God or our existence. First of all, think about this statement. Before Christ, I was a mess. That was my problem. I mean, if we put this sermon in statements, before Christ, I was a mess, my problem. In Christ, I'm different. God's poetry. That's last week. Through Christ, I can make a difference. God's plan. That's this week. Okay, so think about that. So before Christ, I was a mess. I was a mess. Try this. I'm not a poet, but catch this. At best, I confess life was a guess, full of stress, like a game of chess, more or less. No finesse, limited success. How's that? You know, I tell my kids sometimes, I'm a poet and didn't know it, but my toes show it. They're Longfellows. I know, that was bad. I know, that was bad. The illustration, the point is, before Christ, and we are lost. We're distant from God. We're under God's wrath. We're a mess. Whether we realize it at the time or not, but now in Christ, looking back and understanding the reality of what Christ has done for us, we look back and realize, oh man, my life was a mess before Christ. And early in chapter 2, in verse 3, Paul says, actually, before Christ, all of us were like them and lived according to our natural desires, doing whatever suited the wishes of our own bodies and minds. In our natural condition, we, like everyone else, were destined to suffer God's anger. We were in trouble. And we've got to recognize that. That's our problem. But then we move into verses 8 and 9 last week, verse 10, where we understand that by grace through faith we're saved, not of ourselves, not of works. It's of Christ. It's of God's work in our lives. And then in verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so, but now in Christ, I'm different. I'm different. God's poetry. If you were here last week, man, the majesty of the masterpiece that God has pulled off in recreating us. We're new in Christ. We're new. We're different. We're different. It's God's workmanship. Again, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So we get that. That's a huge statement that we dealt with last week. So who am I in Christ? My heart is transformed. My life is being transformed. I'm different. You're different. Now, you might not look different. Maybe you've just recently trusted Christ. Maybe you don't have a different appearance. It's not like you started dressing differently necessarily, or you shaved, or you didn't shave, or you cut your hair. It's not an outward appearance thing, is it? No, but, oh, man, as a believer, you begin to realize, I am different. God took that old heart. He took that old heart away. He put a new heart in me. I'm new, recreated. I'm a child of God. So there's a difference there. But tonight I want to put all of our effort in understanding this third stage of our walk with God, and that is in terms of who am I? Before Christ, I was a mess. In Christ, I'm different. And now tonight, through Christ, I can make a difference. Think about that. Through Christ, I can make a difference. We're going to use that in the terms of the phrase, you were created to do good works, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That phrase probably throws us off a little bit. But I want us to see if we can understand how Paul is using that phrase. You know, we're saved, maybe to put it in a different way, to do good works. We're saved to serve. We're saved to make a difference, to make a contribution. There's a plan. God's plan in saving us is that we would make a difference. We would make a difference. Paul says it in Colossians in this way, chapter 1, verse 10. He says, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That there's this process, this transformation that God has begun. You're different. It's so that we would bear fruit in every good work. That we would live a life worthy of the Lord. That there would be a cause-effect going on in our lives. And so the basis of good works, okay, just to clarify, in case there's any confusion, he's not talking about earning our salvation. He hasn't shifted gears here. He's continuing from verses 8 and 9 saying it's not of works. It's not of yourselves. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. Okay, so we got to hear that. The basis of good works is the grace of God. The basis of good works is the grace of God. The reason we can make a difference is by the grace of God we've been changed. The reason you can do good works, the reason God created you to do good works is because you have been changed. Okay, and so Paul puts it in another way in Philippians chapter 1. I'm confident of this very thing. That he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's at work in us. God's the author of those good deeds. He's the one who empowers us. It's his spirit that helps us make a difference. Now, on a practical side, how? Okay, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's God's plan. But how? How's that supposed to play out? Okay, so we're commissioned, we're created, we have the power, we have the authority, we have the qualifications to make a difference. We have everything we need. So what do we do? What's the game plan? Where do we go from here? That's an important question for every believer tonight. Jesus said another very commonly known verse in Matthew 5:16. He said, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Why? So other people will see your good deeds and praise God. So what are those good works? What's the good works that Paul's talking about here in verse 10? What's the good deeds that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5? You know, some of us are kind of wired spiritually, as well as maybe in other ways, but we're wired in a way that says, man, just give me the list. Come on, coach. Give me the list. I'll get it done. Man, yeah, I'll get after it. Just give me the list. What is it? If you just tell me what it is, I'll do it. You know, and I think sometimes there's a good motive in that, but sometimes that can also be misleading. So there's a valuable lesson we need to learn here, and maybe a good place to learn that, if you still got your Bibles, you might want to turn to Matthew 25. Verses 35 through 40, a good story that helps us understand maybe a little bit about how good works should be evident, be present in our lives. Okay, Matthew 25, 35 and 36. Jesus says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And in verse 37, it says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now what a just a great statement, great story, great teaching from the lips of Jesus in general. But I want you to consider this as we're considering the topic of good works. Consider this. These good people, the people that Jesus referred to as righteous, they were righteous. They were godly. They were holy people. They had the right posture. Those good people didn't realize the good they had done. They didn't realize the good they had done. You thought about that? I wonder why. I wonder why they didn't realize the good they had done. Maybe it was because they weren't following a checklist. Maybe it was because they weren't just taking a linear list of things that they needed to do and checking them off. Could it be maybe instead they were simply living a life? They were living the life. Life of good works that had become just the way of life for them. And because of that, they weren't keeping score. We're prone to that, aren't we? We're prone to that. But maybe because they had learned what it was to live the life that pleases God, that produces good works, that bears the fruit of good works, they were just living the life and trusting God for the fruit. They weren't keeping score. They certainly weren't looking for credit or applause. Now, I'm challenged by that. I think that's a valuable insight for us. That life had actually just become a part of me. Now, let me see if I can bridge a gap here a little bit. What am I doing with Shur? He's a good pup. He's a purebred golden retriever. I've trained goldens since 85. We've had goldens since then. Not the same one. What am I doing? What's my plan? Is my goal to simply get him to obey my commands? Or is my goal, help me with a metaphor here, for him to live the life? See, I want him as a great companion dog. And companion dogs need to be obedient. They need to be obedient to a voice command and preferably off-leash. That's a good thing. So yeah, a companion dog would be great. But really, I have more in mind for him. I want him to be a retriever. He is a retriever by blood, by birth, by breed. He's a golden retriever. But I want him to be a retriever. I want him to retrieve. And no, not just the ball in the backyard. He does that, and he loves it. And he'll do it until we both fall over dead. He will never stop. That's not what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about being a water dog, a bird dog, a hunting dog on the river. I'm talking about going and getting the duck that I just shot. Under command, off leash, knowing exactly what he's supposed to do, figuring out that that's what he was made for. That's really what he was made for. Let's go get the duck. All this other stuff is getting him ready for that. The life for Shuba that he hadn't even tasted yet, just when he has that first live retreat. We had a dog 2 years ago named Sammy, also that we got from the Ridleys. Leah's dog, years ago. And he was about like Shooter now. Slightly different birthday month. But as he was ready to go on his first retreat, first hunting trip up the river near Radium Springs, this took him. He was well trained, but I didn't know how he was going to do. He had never done a live retrieve before. And so we got up there and we were hunting, and sure enough, I got lucky, because it usually is luck if I hit a bird. And, you know, the bird fell, hit the water. My command to Sammy was Sammy Mark, which is the command to watch and look for a bird coming down. He marked. He said, Sammy, fetch. And he took off, hit the water, leaped off the bank into the water, swam. The duck was already downstream. He swam downstream, eyes on the duck, went down and got it, came out of the river downstream, came running up the bank with the duck in his mouth. It's just that soft mouth that retrievers are bred with. No damage to the duck. Comes up, sits, puts it in my hand. I mean, exactly the way he was supposed to. It was kind of ideal. I was surprised. Comes up, sits, gives me the duck. I take the duck and I say, good boy, Sammy. And then I just give him the release command. I say, okay. So he shakes off. And then next thing, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. Sammy did a dance. He was so excited. It was almost like if he could talk, he would say, Are you kidding me? So this is what I was made for? Holy smoke. Let's do it again. I mean, he was just jumping around. He couldn't. Hello, Shooter. I'm sorry, buddy. He just couldn't stand it. And it was like a window for me to realize, yeah, Sammy wasn't bred to hang out in the backyard and eat and poop. That's not what he was bred for. Okay, now, that's what he does most of the time, did most of the time before he died. I mean, that's because I don't go hunting all the time. But it was that window. It was the plan. My plan for Shooter is that he would have that experience, that life. Now, a lot depends on that plan. That plan depends on a lot of things. And I'll leave it there. But I don't think I have to connect the dots so much, do I? God's plan for us is to discover what we were made for. What we were created for. And in this verse, it's stated very clearly, God created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. And I'm telling you, it's not a checklist. It's not, okay, I went and fed the hungry, now I've done my duty. No, it's not that. It's that you discover by living the life, the fruit that comes out is absolutely thrilling. That you begin to discover how amazing it is to walk with God. You discovered what life was about. That's the plan. That's what God's after. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, but it's not a checklist. Don't get confused by that. Now, there are commands in Scripture that give us very clear commands on how to live and what to do and what not to do. Don't misread me here. But this concept of good works isn't a checklist. It's not. It's a posture. It's a life that bears the fruit called good works. We love God by loving people. We serve God by serving people. Okay, so Let me see if we can apply this. Good boy. The believer's life is evidence of their salvation. It should be. The believer's life, the way we live, the life we live, is evidence that we're changed. We're God's poetry. The people who knew us before and the people who know us now look at us and go, man, Englehart, he's different. He's different. They should. Your family, your friends in high school, maybe. Maybe right here in college. They're going, whoa, what just happened to him? What just happened to her? The believer's life is evidence. And that evidence is an expression of good works. It's character, but it's also influence. It's influence. We were born, we were created to make a difference. God created us that way. Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life to redeem many people. So, you weren't, and I know you know this, but you weren't created to consume resources. You weren't created to eat and breathe and take up space and be blessed. That's part of what we do, but that's not the purpose. God created us to make a difference. He created us to make a difference. So our good works are the testimonies to that to the loss of our life that put us in position to be heard, to have influence. Look, think about how Peter put it in First Peter 2. He says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good works and glorify God on the day he visits us." That's what God wants from us over here. That's what he wants from us, isn't it? Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your good works. They'll see your good works and glorify God on the day he visits us. Well, God wants to work through us, but he also has to work in us. And that's why it's so important to just walk with him. I won't go into a lot of detail on that. But we're created to do good works, and God wants to do that through us. So we have to be in fellowship, in obedience with his word. Okay, so there it is. Why did God save us? He saved us to change us. Okay, he saved us to change us. Can I put a big umbrella statement over that? And maybe use a commonly used phrase that might, if we're not careful, gets overused. God saved us to bring glory to himself. Okay? Don't miss that. But one of the ways that God brings glory to himself through us, he changes us. He does. He changes us. He takes out the old and puts in the new. He replaces bad appetites with healthy appetites in all kinds of areas of our life. And therefore we're different. We're saved for good works. He saved us to make a difference. So, what's God doing to train you today to do good works? My challenge to us tonight as we finish the message, Ben, you guys can go ahead and come up. My challenge to you is, are you willing to respond to how God is training you? You know, he wants you to be off leash. You know, I want him to be totally off leash. This has been a test tonight. I kept putting him in the office with the office door open and leaving him in there to stay, and he kept sneaking out to see people. Right? Sometimes we do that. Now he's doing the same thing, right? It's like, oh boy, Shooter, come. Sit. Shooter, come here. Shooter. So, I would just ask you, what's he doing? How is he training you? Are you willing to let him use you to do good works? Will you commit that to God tonight? If you know the Lord, he created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's his goal for you. If you're still figuring out what it means to know the Lord, understand that it's by grace through faith. It's by grace through faith that you come to him. You simply need to respond to what he's already done for you. Let's pray together. We'll say, God, we are grateful for your plan. God, we want to be people who bear fruit. We really want to be people who do good works as a matter of life. God, show us what that life looks like. God, would you show us, help us guide. God, give us the courage to respond to you tonight in honesty and invite you to do great things through us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.